Respected viewers, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this week's show, where we'll be talking about raising children and support networks available to both mothers and children, and what is out there in terms of resources. Raising your children in the West, as I've said before, is much like Musa being raised in the city of Fir'aun, with so many distractions to occupy your children and vain preoccupations. It's important to try and create a balance between a healthy social life together with the right friend circle, as well as engaging your children in activities that are both Islamic, but at the same time, children need to be aware of what is happening in the wider society. Parent and toddler groups have been around for many years now, and are a valuable and relevant resource for all parents and carers that have a child under the age of 5. However, not a lot are actually available for the Muslim the Muslim community, in the sense that there aren't many that are out there catering especially for Muslims. And today we'll be looking at one successful initiative of creating such a group for Muslim women in the area of Northwest London. The aim of parent toddler groups are to actually help develop a toddler in all areas of their personality, as well as looking at the parent-child attachment and foster the child's development through playing and talking. Now, when we talk about a child playing, the right toys are actually important, or the right toys are actually important. Why? Because we're in an environment where the market is overrun by Barbies and Ben 10 and Mickey Mouse, and therefore when I came across a company called Buzz Ideas, it was actually quite refreshing, because it was a company that aimed to provide products that help to raise a generation of enthusiastic young Muslims. Here with me to discuss the importance of support groups, as well as making religion more child-friendly, is my first guest sister, Ismina Malji, who has a diploma in nursery nursing. She's a mother of 3, and after the birth of her second child, she set up a mother and toddlers group in 2004 that met weekly. She's also the founder of MummyTime.com, which was set up in 2010-2011, and serves as a support group to mothers. My second guest is Sister Shaheen Mirali. She is a Montessori teacher by profession and has been working in the field of child development for a number of years. Shaheen has recently started a blog and company called Buzz Ideas, which is both available on Facebook and on the internet. And it was designed to make our faith more fun, more exciting, and a very practical and hands-on approach for children and families through contemporary ideas. Shaheen is also the founder of the Children Islamic Library in the UK, that is also available online. And it makes children's Islamic books, games, CDs, DVDs, all sourced from different parts of the world, available to the community members. Both are also teachers for young children in the mosque when they run parallel classes during Muharram, Safar and Ramadan. So welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
So Ismina, if I can come to you first, what encouraged you to create a mother and toddler group?
It was a gap in the market, as to say. I gave birth to Oase in 2003, and immediately after fell pregnant with Amira, who I gave birth to in 2004. But when I had Oase, I just felt that the only toddler groups were in churches and community centres. But I wanted to talk to Muslim mums. And the only time I got to meet Muslim mums was when there was a mosque function. And whenever there was a mosque function, I couldn't talk to Muslim mums because there was a program going on and I was told to be quiet. As soon as the program was finished, I had to rush home because it was time for my baby to sleep. So I was in this dilemma of, I can't talk to anyone during the day over the phone because I have a baby. And I can't talk to anyone in mosque. And I want to talk to a Muslim. How do I do this? Mm. So in 2004, once I was able to juggle 2 kids, I thought, well, why not have a mother and toddler group in the mosque? Alhamdulillah, we have a senior citizens group in the mosque on a Wednesday. So I thought, well, if we run it parallel to that, then anyone who has a mother-in-law at home who comes here, the daughter-in-law can come to the mother and toddler group with the child. And it was just like a midweek thing, from 10 to 12, come if you want, nothing to sign up for. And we bought a few toys, and there was books, puzzles, colouring, and just a place where mums, Muslim mums, could talk to each other. And alhamdulillah, that's when it all kicked off. We opened the mother and toddler group in mosque, and we had a donation box for £1 just for teas, coffees, biscuits. And it was great to find out that you weren't the only one changing nappies. You weren't the only one waking up at 2 a.m., 4 a.m. doing feeds in the middle of the night. You weren't the only one whose child was constipated. And, you know, you could share tips and ideas and potty training and sleep training. And it was great to see a Muslim perspective on this topic.
Brilliant. And Shireen, if I could ask you both about Buzz and the Children's Library, what inspired you?
Okay, so the Children's Library basically was born soon after Hussein Yahya. I remember being in Barnes & Noble's and just looking around and thinking and taking out an Islamic book, a novel type thing, and I'm thinking, I'd love to have this at home, but there's so many and I can't possibly buy them or fit them in my house. Why can't we have a library system where they're all accessible, they're all available, but you can just borrow a few at a time and then return them?
Mm.
So that's how that started, just to have these amazing resources, because now compared to when we were growing up, there's so much more out there. There's so many more board books and picture books and novels for children that are out there that we didn't have when we were growing up. And so I found a lovely location in Darul Tabligh in Hertfordshire, which had a beautiful garden, and started buying, really getting donations, buying the books, setting it up. And now we also have regular programs in half term, and we have story times in half term, and then during the full term holidays there tends to be an activity day. The activity day is usually for the older group, because I think they don't get as much opportunity to do this sort of thing. So activity days can be anything from watching a movie and discussing the highlights behind the movie and raising money for a fundraiser, or we played once Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Islamic questions. We've done lots of different activities, arts and crafts, with the older children as well, and they always finish with story time. So that was the Children's Library.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz Ideas literally was born a couple of Christmases ago, when surrounded by all the Christmas hype. And then how in schools they have the post offices, and my son always tells me, well, how come I don't give out cards for Christmas? And I tell him that, look, I don't believe that you should, because we have our own celebrations, and why don't we do something similar for Eid, where you can give your classmates cards for Eid. Then also we had the whole Christmas, trees around us and everything, and we started decorating ourselves, not for Christmas but for Eid. But there's very limited stuff out there available for Eid. So that's where that idea started. Well, why don't we have specific things we can do for children, for example, like a make your own Kaaba or a palm tree, with something, just to make it fun for the kids. And so 2 years ago, alhamdulillah, we started small. We just started with Eid cards for children, so class packs, where you get like little, so they're basic. Oh, I don't have the Eid ones with me, but they're little small cards. And he gave them out to all his friends. And we also came up with neighbors cards, so cards that you can give to your neighbor to wish them Eid Mubarak. Again, to highlight that, hey, we're Muslims and we're celebrating this celebration, which you may or may not have heard of, but, share in our happy time with us. Alhamdulillah, in the last 2 years, it's expanded. So we have now products that, for example, the names of Allah. We all want to teach our kids, the different names. But we want to make it practical so that they actually remember them in the time that they need, rather than just something that they wrote, learned, and shelved away.
Mm.
So our aim is to create products. So one thing we've done, if I can show you, is an apron with a Razaq on it, the provider.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're cooking, they put this on, and they have that name in the head. So even if they're not wearing the apron the next time, they're like, hey, Al-Razaq, he's the one who provides us with the food that we're cooking or that we're eating with. So small things like that is inshallah the aim, to make what we're learning not just theoretical but practical in our everyday life.
And have you both benefited from each other's, Ismina, with your three kids, have you used Buzz products? staff, and have you used the library?
I have, yes. I've used Buzz products. We used it in our Ramadan classes, where we had an Eid post box, and children were buying cards from Buzz and posting it to their friends through this post box, which we would then give out. Buzz also make cake toppers saying Eid Mubarak, so we got some of those, and the children did make cupcakes with the Eid toppers on there. I think I've also bought these quiz cards for different age groups from Buzz once again, because my three children are different age categories, so they benefited from that. And I think, what was the latest thing? The calendar. I bought a calendar, which is a fun calendar, because it tells you, as well as teaching you a hadith, it also tells you funny things to do, like jump on the spot 10 times today. Whereas that instills fitness in the kids, although they just think it's a bit of fun. But yes, I definitely have. Yeah.
So we can see hands-on that actually Buzz products is actually working. Have you used Ismina's?
When I was listening to you talk about it, I was going back through memory lane, because I remember when we used to meet in the first location of the mother and toddlers, Hussein Yahya was really little then, and I would love going and just sitting and chilling for 2 hours. And the kids would be occupied, and we'd be able to talk about different things. And it was really funny, because we were all Muslims, and you'd help each other by saying, okay, I recited this to calm me down. Or, I remember at one point when, you're getting angry, and then there's this ayah that says, just to help you and think, you know what, you're not benefiting anyone with this anger, which is something you won't get at the Christian groups, which is something that is, I think, amazing and will stick with you, and the memories stay with you as well.
Yeah, I think we both attended a couple of parenting workshops as well.
That's right.
And they were external workshops, but they were just done with Muslims. So, for example, when we were talking about anger, yes, there are different ways to approach it, but we could adapt it so to approach it in this kind of like Islamic way, and it was just within the Muslim mums.
Yeah. So, Ismina, if I could ask you, because it's your baby, how do you mark the success of these mother toddler groups with your children? I mean, it's not like a school where you have Ofsted, and it's not like GCSE results. It's how do you know that your child is benefiting from
mother and toddler? As well as it benefiting the children, I think it's actually catered towards the mothers. I think after you've given birth to your first, second or third child, or fourth, or whatever number you're on, it's always a challenge, and you just need to sit down and realize that there are other people going through the same problems you go through, and just seeing mums together talking about that, gathering in a group, that in itself, you just feel that, yes, that's what I wanted to achieve. I wanted mothers to get together and talk about issues that they have, as well as the children making bonds from a young age, having Muslim friends from a young age, having birthday parties where they don't only invite their nursery friends, but they have their Muslim friends there, going to madrasa with the Muslim friends they've gone to mother and toddler with. I think it's forming a lifelong bond from a very young age.
And I mean, obviously the fact that it's been running for so many years is a mark of its success also, because I mean, how old are your children now? I assume they're now...
Oase will be 11 very soon, and younger. Amira will be 10, so this year would be 10 years for mothers and toddlers. But you see, once my children started school, I had no need to be in mothers and toddlers. So we then changed location, and someone else did take over. And then once her children grew up, then someone else did take over. So I think it's being passed down the line. Although I still feel an attachment to it, I still would love to go. And I still sometimes do drop in, simply just for a chat. Because at the end of the day, I'm still a mum. And I still have the same issues. Yes, my child will still be constipated at the age of whatever they are. And, babies have that.
And I think the other thing, the great thing you guys do is you also organise talks where you have external people. So, you've had a dentist come in, a paediatrician, I think, come in. And
a nutritionist.
A nutritionist. So that's another way we benefit, because these, and sometimes people who've passed that age of mother toddler still come back for the talks. So I think that's another really important resource and in use of the mother and toddler group.
And if I could ask you, how long is, I mean, it sounds like there's a natural progression now between mother and toddlers to then, is it the children's library? Mm. Because you're saying that in half terms or full terms, you're catering for
the older children.
The older children. And how long has that been running?
It's probably been about 5 or 6 years now, because we had a false stop and start at the beginning, but alhamdulillah it's been 5 or 6 years, and now again we've stopped temporarily to move location to within the mosque, the Stanmore Mosque, where it's more widely accessible to people, because I think although the grounds and the location was beautiful before, and we could have, actually we had lots of activity days in the garden in the summer as well, where we had massive, do you remember the Imam Mahdi, we had an Imam Mahdi fun day for example. But now we've moved to somewhere which is a little bit more central for people, so they can easily drop in, pick up some games or books or whatever they want, and come back.
Perfect. So if anyone wanted to, say, replicate either of the efforts, and I'll come to you first with the library or the fun days or Shine, what advice would you give them? I mean, obviously the show is aired everywhere. So for people who aren't in London, for example, that want to replicate the children's library, what advice would you give?
Well, to be honest, everything is on our website. So even the activity days, you know, they don't have to start thinking from scratch as to what can I do. They can just read the write-up and say, okay, well, that's a good idea. I think I can implement that. Mm-hmm. In terms of starting to fill up the shelves, you know, there's plenty of websites out there, which, and I think also they are on the website as well, which are like one-stop shops. So you can go there and, you know, click on whichever books that you think would be good, and basically once they're delivered, just find a good location and go from there. It doesn't take that much. It just takes somebody who's committed really and has a passion for doing this. So,
Ismina, if they wanted to replicate the mother and toddlers group,
You just need a venue, even if it's a house, and you just need to let people know that between 10 and 12, feel free to drop in with your children. Bring a snack for your child and just invest in some educational toys like puzzles, even just paper, colouring, some toys that children like of all ages like to play, because you might get babies there, you might get children that are crawling, so different age range of toys, and just take it from there. And if you ask people for contributions, you can build on your toy collection or puzzle collection and just take it from there really.
Right, Ismina, if I can ask you, mummy time. Where did mummy time come from?
So, I let go of mothers and toddlers, but at the end of the day, as I keep saying, I'm still a mum. I used to get a lot of people calling me, oh, you've been through potty training, how can I do this potty training? Oh, you know, my child cries and sleeps, like doesn't sleep at night, you know, how can you help out? I can't help out. I can tell you what I did, but there are several methods out there on the market. Don't just take what I did as a proven method that will work, because that's what worked for me in my situation. Every situation's different and every person will react differently. So I thought, well, I need some sort of forum where these mums can talk anonymously and just air their problem, and someone can give their point of view. You know, you can have a healthy debate or discussion or just share ideas. So I discussed it with a few friends and they said, oh, an app is much easier, having it on an iPhone. So collected some funds together and we launched an app, Mummy Time app. It's available on both Android and on the iPhone. And we've got Mummy Time forum available and it's very, very easy to use. There's loads of forums out there, but mainly they're cluttered with adverts and links from one thing to another. But the Mummy Time forum is very simple to use. You've got your age groups and you've got categories, and you can just click on what is relevant to you. You can add to it and answer other people's problems as well. Unfortunately, it's taken a backseat at the moment. We have had some technical issues, which I have been assured will be sorted out by next week. I also have an extensive email list, mum@mummytime.com, and I've got loads of email addresses on there that people from all over the world actually send me their address, just because if there's any relevant information that a mum can share, I think it's great. I mean, even just herbal medicines, you don't want to pump your child with medications all the time when they're not well. So I'd send any forward that was sent to me, which is within reason, straight back out.
Perfect. Brilliant. I mean, it does sound that you guys are really engaging with these children. And we're going to go off to a very quick break. To my viewers, I hope you have enjoyed the first half of the show. We did look into Mother and Toddlers Group. My guest, Ismina, is the founder of the first Muslim group in Northwest London. We looked at mummytime.com. When we come back from the break, we'll be looking into more of the products that Buzz Ideas has created and how maybe you can interact with them both on Facebook and on the internet. So I will see you after this short break. Welcome back to today's show, where we were discussing support groups available to mothers and toddlers. We looked at Mummy Time, and we're going to come back into the second half of the show looking into Buzz Ideas. Shaheen is the founder of Buzz Ideas. You've heard already how it's come about. How have you been able to cater for both? In the first half, we know you've done Eid cards, and in the mosque, you've done an Eid post box, which is brilliant, and you've brought awareness of it. But I mean, you know, sometimes when you look at mothers that put their children into Islamic schools, the downside of that is they're not interacting with the public. You know, they're not becoming aware of wider secular events. And how have you been able to cater for that in any way at all?
Well, one of the things that we do, for example, in Ramadan is the neighbor card. And in the cards that we do, we always try to have an Islamic aspect. So, for example, in the neighbor Eid card, we had a hadith there about the importance of neighbors. These are our Christmas cards. So, for example, in the front it has a snowman, but with friendship, love, and peace in there. And then inside we have a little ayah about Hazrat Isa and Bibi Maryam. So I think small things like this just enhance the fact our commonalities with the people around us. So even if a child isn't going to a public school, for example, they will still be seeing people around, their neighbors is something that someone that they probably will be meeting. And just giving them a Christmas card on their celebration, mm-hmm. and an Eid card on our celebration, these I think are small steps that go a long way in emphasizing, hey, you know what, we respect you, we respect your beliefs, and look, we're not so different after all. So I think it's just one small step at a time we can do to build bridges around us.
And have you seen the impact of these events?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, like people who do give them out, either in their classrooms or to their neighbors, they've had such wonderful responses. I know several people who have just mentioned it to me, who say that their relationship with their neighbors has really grown, because once they gave them a card and a box of chocolates, their neighbor came back with a bunch of flowers, and you know that relationship started. Mm. Another thing we try to highlight is, you know, to reach out to the people around you. So, for example, on Eid day, we will go drop a Eid card and a box of chocolates off to the police station, to the fire station, to the library, you know, to the doctors. And we ourselves firsthand have seen how they respond to us. And, you know, now we're familiar faces, and now, you know, we have that rapport, which only comes about through stuff like this.
So it's almost as if, like, it's a tablighi aspect as well as...
Yeah. In a way, it's just to highlight that, look, we're, especially in this day and age where we are being ostracized and seeing as someone different, we're just kind of saying, look, we're just as normal and we believe many of the same things that you do.
Ismina, have you made the switch from traditional Christmas cards to these kind of Christmas cards?
I haven't, no. I haven't given out any Buzz cards. I just haven't bought any Buzz cards for Christmas this time. No.
Next year.
Next year.
I saw I mean, as I was looking through Facebook and I was looking through, you know, some of the work that you've done, I saw that on a community level, they're now giving out these kind of cards too. Is that something that you've had an influence in?
Yeah, it's really awesome to see, actually. Like, so for Christmas, what we did last year and this year, the centres approached us and said, look, we'd like to reach out to the neighbours of the centre, because we do inconvenience them in terms of parking and the traffic rush, especially, you know, during Muharram, Safar and these big days. So we'd like to reach out to them. So they ordered a large number of cards, and because we knew it was going on, we said, you know, we'll help you give them out as well. So we took our kids along too. And basically you just go knocking on the doors of the neighbors of the centers and say, hey, you know, we're from the local mosque, and we just have something small to you, for you, to help you celebrate Christmas. And it was so nice because, you know, we had conversations, and you could see we got a lot of positive feedback that, you know, you guys, it's great to have you here. You know, you're not inconveniencing us at all. Some said you do create a lot of, for example, trash. There's, you know, cups around. So please, could you just pick that up after yourselves? You know, we came back feeling really good that we'd made these connections, but we'd also learned that we need to also change some things that we do.
Brilliant. So on a community level, the awareness is going up. And is this the kind of thing that you would get your children involved in, Lesmina? Or?
Yes. Yeah, I wasn't aware of this that went on this time. But yeah, obviously, I think it's important to instill in children, especially about your neighbours and your local community. Once again, when Shaheen just mentioned about going to your local police station, doctor, etc. during Eid, I never even thought of that. So inshallah this year, I'd plan to do that with my kids, because I think it's really important for the kids to actually actively do something.
I mean, now both of you are obviously community teachers as well. I mean, are you then taking the lessons that you've drawn from, say, Buzz, or from Mummy Time, or from Mother and Toddler, for example? And because these are ongoing projects, or even the library, these are ongoing projects that you do, whereas the mosque actually has very seasonal events. It's like, okay, Muharram we're busy, Safar we're busy, my Ramadan we're busy, but outside of that we're not actually that busy. Are you then feeding it back into the community so that the community grows from this kind of a point of view, or not? Ismina, if I could ask you.
Whatever I gain from all these mothers and toddlers, from going to the Islamic library, a lot of the kids in our classes also have benefited from that. So if I start talking about the children's library event, chances are they've already been or have been aware of it because of my email list, or Buzz has also got an email list because of either email lists, and their parents have found out, and therefore their children have attended these things. So yes, we would talk about it, and yeah, it has helped, yeah.
And I think a lot of what we do as well, like, so for example, one of the aspects, the endings of Mother and Toddler, is where we sing Islamic songs in circle time, and we bring that into our classes as well, where you know, we're teaching them like the Panjatan song, or for example, we just came back from Umrah, and the kids were constantly like, we will walk around the Kaaba 7 times, you know, because it's ingrained in them from a young age. And I think that's the impact that the Mother and Toddler group have, that it's a lasting thing, and it kind of gets built on in the classes every time.
Yeah, I think I've heard my nephew sing that song quite a few times, and he'll be like, you're going on Hajj, you're going to walk, and I'm like, that's the one. How is Buzz helping with things like, I mean, I know that right now, during the holiday periods, I mean, we've just marked Arba'een, and a lot of people went to Iraq, and they took their children. And I remember someone going to me, what resources are actually available for children? And I know that there's a lot behind trying to give us adults, you know, you need ma'rifat, and this is how you do this, and this is how you do this. And then I never actually stopped to think, but what about the children? You can just kind of like think, okay, we take them, and then we bring them back, and when they're older, they'll go again, and maybe they'll understand it a bit more. I mean, is that something that maybe we need to look at? Is it something that maybe you have already looked at?
So, Alhamdulillah, one side of Buzz is the products, but the other side is the blog. And in the blog is where we try and share ideas. So, for example, where we know lots of people have different ways of doing something, like you were saying earlier, But they might be doing it and you have no idea, and it might be something that's really important or that would really help you. So the aim of the blog is, on Facebook especially, to try and get people to contribute their ideas. So for example, a couple of months ago, before lots of people were making the ziyarat trip, we had a series on a ziyarat trip to Iraq. And people sent in their ideas. Okay, I'm making my child do this. I'm giving my child a little bit of money to spend how he chooses on the people he sees around them. Or I'm giving my kid a packet of sweets to give out to the orphans that he sees. Or we're going to make sure we schedule in a trip to the orphanage so they can see firsthand, you know, how people are living around them. And then out of that as well, alhamdulillah, came an Iraq journal. So we have journals out there for the adults to use with a list of what they need. This is something that's much more focused on children, and it's like a secular journal, but with lots of places for them to write in their information, to write in their thoughts. But then you have the information too. So for example, a checklist, things to do before visiting the imam, you know, don't pig out on food, apply perfume, simplified and just made so easy for them to be able to use constantly throughout the journey to maximize what they gain, inshallah.
Perfect. And have you found that tools like this help you, Ismina, when you take your children away? And you have three, both at different ages.
When we went for Umrah, this book wasn't available to us, but we bought little books from Q-Fatima. And it's not that child... It's mainly for adults, but my children were old enough, so I bought them a copy each, and then I bought them a blank book for them to simplify in their own words, write down their thoughts. So my children kept their own journal on a blank, in a blank notebook, with the aid of the Q-Fatima.
I think it's really important to actually bring things down a level. I think sometimes we forget that actually, you know, we're so absorbed in, I need to do my ziyarat. I remember when I took my niece that I'm just like, I completely forgot that actually I don't know how I'm going to make this child friendly in any way whatsoever, because I hadn't actually fathomed that you could even potentially try. In terms like of, you know, obviously like girls are becoming baligh at 9, and I, you know, sometimes I look at my niece and I go, really? How do you then, I mean, it's such a weighty responsibility, it's like the first station that you will meet on the Salat, it's like the longest wait, if your Salah is accepted, all of your deeds, how do you make someone as young as 9, you know, understand something so great? Ismina, if I can come to you first.
Alhamdulillah, once again, I was blessed with a great teacher, and she runs Bulu classes, so Amira, as well as going to the madrasa classes, joined her class, and she explained all the basics and everything. Amira had decided she was not going to wear hijab. Amira was turning baligh on the 1st of February last year. I was mortified, because I'd always thought, no, my daughter will wear hijab. She's like, no, mommy, I don't want to wear a scarf. I like my hair. I like my short sleeve. I'm not going to wear a scarf. So palpitations from last Christmas started, and I was very uneasy. I had external family pressures. She will wear hijab, won't she? I was like, yes, inshallah. No matter what books I have, I think Shaheen, I Can Wear My Hijab Anywhere, was one of the books she had recommended. Nope, that didn't help either. So I don't know whether she could see me getting so worried about this aspect. But alhamdulillah, her friends turned baligh before her, and her friends started wearing hijab. We were lucky enough to go on a family holiday, and I bought her all the abayas, the hijabs, all in different colours, all different types of pins. Come 1st of February, Amira wore a matching hijab to her school uniform and went into school wearing hijab. And alhamdulillah, I was so relieved that she had agreed, accepted to go down that way. Before she wore hijab in school, I knew that she'd probably be really worried as being accepted or not. So I went into school beforehand and I did a small presentation on what hijab is, what turning baligh is, because we have becoming balig in Islam, but there's other religions, like in Judaism, I think they have a bar mitzvah when they become balig, as to say. In Christians, they have a confirmation. So all religions have their own thing. So I went to explain to the children what happens in Islam and how girls are seen like a pearl. And, you know, pearls are not readily available. You have to really look for them, and they're hidden at the bottom of the sea. So I did a small PowerPoint presentation, child-friendly, child-based, on that. And alhamdulillah, it went so well. Amira wore hijab, and the following week, another girl in her school decided to wear hijab. And she started wearing hijab, and her mum didn't do any talk. So the school called me and said, please, can you do your talk again to a different class to explain to them about hijab?
Did her friends influence her then?
I think her friends did have positive input on Amira wearing hijab, yeah.
Brilliant. So that's Amira wearing hijab. Shane, if I can ask you about Salah, how do you...
It's a tricky one, because you know, you want to achieve the right balance where you're not forcing them, like you didn't want to force the mirror, but at the same time you don't want to be totally hands up and say, you know, you choose, because it may not go the way you want. To get ideas myself on this, recently we've done a Salah series on Buzz as well, where people sent in their ideas of how they get their children to love Salah, because you don't want them just to pray as well, you really want them to enjoy it and, you know, do it for the right reasons. The ideas people sent in were amazing, and we shared them on Facebook. Small things like starting young, so it's not just when they're about the age of bulugh, then you say, okay, now you have to pray, you know. Islam doesn't say that. And so things that, like getting them their own musalla from a young age, and just laying it out, even if they're not praying, laying it out next to you. Things like doing crafts around praying, so making their own tasbihs, for example, and something that they will cherish for a long time. There are books available now on praying and on enjoying praying and on salah, so those were shared. Then something as small as how you talk about salah, you know, do you say, when you finish praying, then you can play, you know, as if it's a chore to be done, or how do you bring it in? So come on, let's pray, you know, it's time for us to talk to Allah. Let's say you have a reluctant child. One idea came out that if they really don't want to pray, and they're not that old yet, let's say, for example, my kids are 6 and 8, and they're not so keen on, you know, every namaz time stopping or whatever, I'll say, okay, just go down into sajda and talk to Allah for a bit, you know. That was another idea that emerged from there. So they understand the philosophy of Salah. So I think there's so many people out there with such wonderful things they do. And inshallah, if we can, you know, keep connecting on Buzz and sharing ideas, then this generation can go really far.
I'm just like looking in your pile of of things that you've done. I can see my Salah fun cards.
This is actually a game that someone in Dubai produces, and so we're a distributor for her. There's my Salah fun cards. Again, this was one of the ideas, using games to get them encouraged. So there's cards in there with each of the steps of Salah, and it has a translation as well. So to help understand what they're saying, games like Memory Match and Salah Snap. While they're playing these games, they're inevitably looking and saying, okay, so this is, or at Ruku, this is what I'm saying, and this is what it means, you know. But without having them sit down and, okay, learn this, and what does it mean? It's through a very fun, light-hearted way, so that they don't even know that they're learning.
I remember being at Madrasa as a teacher, and we used to have this form, and like, right now you need to pray me a 3-rakat namaz, and that was it. You'd have to go into silent, and you'd have to wait for this child to stand and do the niyat and make sure they went through all, and you're sitting there with your clipboard going, nope, yes, no, yes. And I would look at these kids going, I feel really sorry for you, the amount of pressure we put on. I mean, obviously it is an important part of life, and it's important that they get it right. But I think that, you know, if you start it young and you start it in a fun way, then it isn't so much seen as I need to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's the aim, I hope.
So, I mean, a lot of your forums are now online. I mean, Buzz is online and Mummy Time is online. How important is online communication, Ismina, now, I mean, in the modern day world? I mean,
I think it's really, really important nowadays, because I mean, for example, Shine, you just said that that's from Dubai. you can access things from anywhere in the world. I mean, most of these books that I order or you order, I don't know, I think they come from the US. They can come from anywhere. There's loads of Islamic resources available all over the world. And being online and just tapping into that is amazing.
I agree. I mean, I think it's an really important aspect of what we're doing. The sharing of ideas internationally can only be done online. And also, there's so many, like, I love and appreciate Facebook for the fact that, you know, you get to see what articles people are posting, and those articles are so pertinent to what you're trying to achieve as well, that they completely mesh together. And yeah, there's lots to learn and lots of ways to connect online.
If we could, both of you respectively, just give the websites for both of your obviously Buzz and Mummy Time, just for the viewers' benefit. I mean, if they wanted to like come in and have a look. Ismina, what was your Mummy Time like?
It's www.mummytime.com. We're also on Facebook, and it's Mummy Time, and it's an open group.
Okay, brilliant. And your one is?
So the Children's Library is www.childrensislamiclibrary.com. That's one word, .com.
Mm-hmm.
And Buzz Ideas is www.buzzideas with a double Z at the end. So IDEAZZ.com. And we're also on Facebook under Buzz Ideas as well.
Brilliant. Now, Ismina, I mean, I know that you went from mother toddler to mummy time. What next?
What next? I don't know what comes next. I find myself wondering the same thing because my children will soon be teenagers. My son starts secondary school in September, and I'm already having palpitations about what the wider secular community, how that will impact his life. And as they become balig, hormones will kick in, and how I have to deal with that Islamically.
Well, we do look forward to seeing what will come up. And obviously, we wish you all the best with your developing and your Buzz products. It does seem to be having a huge impact on the community. To our viewers, we do hope that you have enjoyed today's show, and that these websites are available both on Facebook and on the internet. And we do hope that you enjoy interacting with them. We will look forward to seeing you next time on our show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.